Hello everyone, welcome to This Week in Stupid for the 26th of April, 2015. I know I'm saying this more and more, but last week was so fucking stupid. I mean, look at this. Army ROTC program allegedly pressured cadets to walk in high heels for ASU event. The future of the US Army walking around in bright red high heels. The cadets themselves were complaining on message boards that they were pressured to walk in high heels on Monday for an Arizona State University campus event designed to raise awareness of sexual violence against women. Well, you've raised awareness. Now everyone is paying attention to you. The Army openly encouraged participating in April's Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event in 2014, but now it appears the candidates at ASU are faced with a volunteer event that became mandatory. Private, you are going to put those red high heels on and you are going to march around outside in public or you will be court-martialed. Attendance is mandatory, and if we miss it, we get negative counselling and a does not support the battalion sharp slash EO mission on our CDT OER for getting the branch we want. Now, I don't actually know what that means, but I don't like the sound of it. So I spent $16 on a pair of high heels that I have to spray paint red later on, only to throw them in the trash after about 300 of us embarrass the US Army tomorrow. And feminists have the gall to say that women are oppressed in America. I mean, it kind of looks like women have the men whipped. Absolutely fucking whipped. You know what, let's check with the Russians to see what they think of all this. Once he finished laughing, Vladimir Putin did indeed give me a direct quote. He said, "Russian soldiers will never be forced to wear high heels. What the fuck are the Americans doing?" This statement is, of course, deeply transphobic. Just like British toddlers. Because children as young as 3 have been told to sign a contract promising not to use transphobic language at nursery. This is very reminiscent of the racist toddlers from a few weeks ago. Children as young as 3 are being asked to sign a contract pledging not to use transphobic language at school. The pledge is contained in a homeschool agreement, which all children must sign before they start at Turnham Primary School in September. Sure, I mean, that sounds completely rational. That's exactly what you need to do. I mean, 3-year-olds are not known for their writing skills, but they definitely need to sign this contract. The infants must also promise to refrain from using homophobic and racist phrases, to be tolerant of people with different sexual orientations and lifestyles. Each child must print their name and provide a signature to confirm they understand their responsibilities while attending school. Are you aware that you are dealing with children? Just out of interest, you fucking busybodies. I mean, what kind of fucking moron would think, you know what, we really need to make sure that kids who are just learning how to read don't start being transphobic. Oh, well, this is head teacher Selena Sharp, who sent out the agreement. And everything becomes clear. It is understood that teachers in the Southeast London School introduced the document to help stamp out playground prejudice against transgender people. Oh yeah, that's something I imagine that the kids were doing. These 5-year-old kids were like, "Oh, you're a fucking tranny." And a wide range of disabilities and cultures. Yeah, but yesterday, the chairman of governors said they knew nothing about the change to the contract, which was also dismissed as bonkers by parents who said that preschool children could not be expected to understand such complex issues. Are you kidding me? Of course they can. And next week we'll be teaching them not to shame people for BDSM preferences. Then we'll be teaching them about rape culture. Honestly, you do not know just how much the feminists want to get to your children. The contract does not say what will happen to pupils who disobey the clauses, presumably because it would just be too stupid to commit to paper. Possibly for fear of future archaeologists discovering it and realizing what a pathetic civilization we were. This isn't the only place where the tolerance Nazis have been taking action against children, though, if you can believe this. The controversy comes in the wake of the Coalition's British Values Drive, which requires all schools to teach tolerance of other faiths and lifestyles, even bad ones. It was introduced last year in response to the Trojan Horse scandal, which saw schools in Birmingham allegedly infiltrated by Muslim hardliners hoping to impose an Islamic agenda. This is what I mean by bad lifestyle choices. I don't want hardline Islamic agendas being taught at British schools, and then I don't want my government's response to be, you know what, you need to be tolerant of that. That is some fucking bullshit right there. I know what you're thinking. That's not about the students. No, it's not. This is, though. Two Christian schools in the Northeast said pupils were asked inappropriate questions on race and sexuality. I can believe that. And were branded intolerant when they gave the wrong answers. Just intolerant kids. Just all our kids are fucking intolerant. One 10-year-old girl was left in tears after inspectors allegedly asked her whether she felt trapped in someone else's body. This, you live in a country where this happens, if you're in Britain. Just so you know, this is your country in the 21st century. And this is what these fucking busybodies are doing to your kids. Honestly, I don't want 10-year-olds to be branded as intolerant. I really don't. Just the very idea that a 10-year-old really knows what the fuck is going on with all this is ridiculous. They have no idea how political all of this is. The thing is, right, I consider myself a pretty fucking tolerant guy, to be honest. I really do. But I mean, it seems like there are no limits to what I am expected to tolerate. Let's take this for example. Mother locks young daughters inside alarmed bedroom so she can share a bed with a paedophile husband in a plan approved by the authorities. What the fucking fuck? A mother locks her two young daughters in an alarmed bedroom so she can share a bed with her husband, who is a convicted child abuser. The local social services in Devon, while the paedophile, his wife and his two children live, have approved the plan, despite the man previously being jailed for attacking a girl under the age of 13. It comes just months after the local authority had described him as a continuing risk to the girls, who are both under the age of 13. How the fuck did social services find this as an acceptable state of affairs? And social services were also happy with the arrangement of the girls having a baby monitor in their bedroom so they can call their mother if they need to be let out to go to the toilet. That is just... that's fucking just unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's normalcy for these poor girls. Now the girl's grandmother has spoken of her worry and fears over her granddaughter's safety. Oh, shut up, Grandma. For fuck's sake, we're tolerant now. Which means we tolerate paedophiles living in the same house as young kids. The mother split from the girl's father, who has now relocated to a new part of the country and does not have regular access to his children. She then began a relationship with the paedophile, who is banned from having unsupervised contact from under 16s. I'm sure the father's not worried, to be honest. I mean, there is a lock on the door, and it is alarmed. Devon County Council has confirmed that a meeting took place last year where it was determined that there were enough protective factors in place for the man to stay in the family home. That's right, Devon County Council. What could possibly go wrong? But at least he's not gay. I mean, that is pretty much the same as being a rapist, according to an Irish pastor. That's right, it's rape. It's not just wrong because being Irish, he's probably a Catholic, and so being a Catholic, he obviously thinks homosexuality is a sin. No, no, no. It's not just a sin. It's rape. So he said that homosexuality is wrong, just like rape and adultery. And he argued that a sexual relationship between two men or two women could never be consensual. We are dealing with one party believing he is right in what he's doing, and so it's not really consensual. I don't understand this. I don't really know how this works, but maybe he thinks that it's the person taking it in the arse that's the gay one, and the person giving it is straight. He also says two people can consent to adultery or consent to rob a bank, but that doesn't make either of those things right. No, but it also doesn't make either of those things rape, either. People can consent to do immoral or illegal things, you fucking idiot. I'm not saying that I think homosexual sex is immoral. I'm saying it's not surprising that a Catholic priest would think homosexual sex is immoral. It shouldn't be between man and man. At best, it can only be between man and boy. You know what it's time for? That's right, it's time for some Gamergate news. Anne Wheaton tricked Gamergate into indirectly donating to Feminist Frequency. You troll girl. I actually have no idea who Anne Wheaton is. I presume she's like Will Wheaton's mum. I mean, why the fuck else would she be wearing a t-shirt of Wesley Crusher? In a post on her blog the other day, you know, the most reliable source for news you can imagine, Mary Sue, Will Wheaton's mum detailed her time at Calgary Expo and included one paragraph relating to the Gamergate Honey Badger situation we previously reported on, which I'm sure was just fantastic unbiased reporting. you know, the sort of reporting that the Mary Sue is known for. As much as I enjoyed the meeting and seeing all the wonderful people, I also know that there can be people out there who look for opportunities to try and be hurtful and harmful to people who just want to enjoy a convention experience. Wow. That is a great deal of projection right there. I know this happened at the Calgary Expo this weekend, and staff and local authorities handled the situation immediately. Yes, a group of women were ejected from this convention because, I don't know, they thought wrong. It's an unfortunate world we live in where angry and unhappy people try to find ways to take the joy out of life for someone else who... This is incredible. But it was obvious by the thousands of people at the convention that this wasn't going to affect their enjoyment of the weekend. They probably had no idea what the fuck you were talking about. But I think that this is what Orwell would have termed crime think. So the Mary Sue, in top journalistic fashion, posted a series of tweets, which... Why not? I mean, you know, post a series of tweets, write it up in an article, knock off for the afternoon. But so Anne Wheaton says, I know I'm a good person, because that's what good people do. They just know they're good. They're just intrinsically good, because they're them. And I do what I can to make a positive difference in the world. For days, I have been attacked by terrible people. Tragic. All on the Twitter. I am, of course, going to simply take her word for it, because, I mean, she doesn't provide any evidence. For every angry, hateful, and or disrespectful tweet I receive from a Gamergate person, so that could well be any kind of tweet. I mean, you know, I could be angry that someone insulted me. And so if they insult me and I tweet back, suddenly I'm an angry person and they're going to count that as harassment, aren't they? But anyway, for every angry, hateful, or disrespectful tweet she receives from a Gamergate person, I'm donating $1 to Feminist Frequency. I'm already up to $67. Oh no, Anne, please don't donate your own money. I will not engage your comments, Gamergate people, but I will mute you and donate $1 on your behalf to Feminist Frequency. But it's going to come out of Anne Wheaton's money. So, I mean, you know, I don't really feel like I'm losing here. I'm capping my donation tally at $1,000. Well, that's probably a good idea, Anne, because I get the feeling that you are trying to provoke people to cause a scene. Are you opening a Patreon anytime soon, just out of interest? And I love how the Manginas jump on this bandwagon. Go on straight, white men. Donate your money to Feminist Frequency. I simply couldn't care less. I can imagine that there are people in Gamergate who are just gutted, absolutely gutted, that someone else took their own money and donated it to Anita Sarkeesian. I mean, it's not like anyone from Gamergate lost any money over this, but you really got one over on us, social justice warriors. Oh, just, damn, next time, eh? Next time. You fucking morons. You know what we haven't talked about in a while? Privilege. More importantly, do you know that extroverts have social privilege? You didn't. Well, you do now. And you, if you were an extrovert, which you probably are, have been oppressing introverts your whole life. You piece of shit. This is, of course, by the numbers. Social justice warriors have found a new thing to be upset about. The institutional oppression that introverts endure because this culture has been built for extroverts. And that gives them social privilege. You knew that was coming. You knew exactly how that was going to go. So number one is not having to forsake your basic needs, like food and going to the bathroom, because your roommate has company over, and when your daily person quota has been filled, hunger is the less of two evils. Fucking hell, this has come from Tumblr, hasn't it? Not having to leave a store empty-handed because you can't find what you need after looking for several hours and are too afraid to ask an employee. Oh, sorry, I don't need to comment on that. I mean, I'm just letting you all sit there and go, wow, that is pathetic in your own heads. Not risking bodily harm because you walk so fast in order to get away from the crowd and close your eyes every time you turn a corner and so are, quote, pretty much guaranteed to smack into somebody. I don't think the person who wrote this, the original article, obviously, is aware of what an introvert is. An introvert is someone who just doesn't express themselves and talk quite as much as other people who would be considered extroverts. They aren't mentally handicapped land whales, for fuck's sake. being able to find a job more easily. And if you think that's just because you're a great worker and all that, St. James clarifies that it's just because extroverts don't seem to understand the amount of privilege actually helping them, like being able to socialise. Well, I mean, this one might actually have some basis in reality. You know, you go into a job interview, you're extroverted, you're charismatic, you're charming, you talk, you're easy to get on with, and you probably make a better impression than the person who sits there and pees themselves when they're asked a question. Number 5, being able to make friends more easily because you talk to people. Well, yes, talking to people is a prerequisite of making friends. And finally, number 6, not having to be as tired as introverts are all the time because of having to be around other people, something that St. James refers to as daily socialization demands and human chores that leaves you ready to collapse. I suddenly can see why you don't have many friends. Well, at least we know that there is literally a privilege or oppression for everything. You know where we haven't visited this week? Universities. No more chicken. John Hopkins students ban Chick-fil-A from campus. I haven't actually read this yet, but this is doubtless going to be about the Chick-fil-A same-sex marriage controversy that happened a few months back. So the university's government association approved a resolution this week saying that university officials should pick other non-discriminatory options and rule out any current and future Chick-fil-A development plans if searching for new dining vendors on campus. The resolution, which passed 18-8, the SGA stated that having a Chick-fil-A location on campus would be a microaggression towards the campus community. Of course it would. It'd be a microaggression. Including visiting prospective and current students, staff, faculty, and other visitors who are members of the LGBTQ community or are allies. Someone somewhere is going to be triggered. But the thing is, this is even after Chick-fil-A changed its ways, even ceasing its donations to organizations against same-sex unions, but this has not stopped college campuses from expressing their disapproval of hosting the company. I mean, there is no fucking pleasing these people. Even when they're like, you know what? We were wrong, you were right, let's all join your team. We fully agree with what you're saying. They're like, well, you didn't initially. And the thing is, this wasn't even in response to any plans to bring the Southern Fried Chicken restaurant to the Baltimore campus. They were just, I don't know, pissy at them or something, I guess. The students' measure is getting backlash in the conservative press. The National Review said there is a spirit of intolerance, a new spirit of intolerance, on campus that is targeting conservative Christians. I will try and contain my surprise. Because I tell you what, if there's one thing that social justice warriors are just fine with, it is intolerance of other people. I mean, book burning. I mean, witch hunts. That's what I mean. Oberlin activists posted creepy messages accusing specific students of perpetuating rape culture. Their crime? Bringing Christina Hoff Sommers to campus. You know, Christina Hoff Sommers, that notorious rapist. So why did this happen? Well, left-leaning student activists at Oberlin College hung posters at the Christina Hoff Sommers event earlier this week that identified the students involved in bringing the individualist feminist and AEI scholar to campus. Those fucking bastards. They should be named and shamed. Each poster gave the name of a specific student member of the Oberlin College Republicans and Libertarians and accused that person of perpetuating rape culture. Because, for some reason, the people who put these posters up didn't think that they looked crazy enough. I mean, seriously, in what world do they think this is acceptable? For fuck's sake, this is madness. Absolute fucking madness. This is the higher education of the Western world. Just so you know. Just so you know, these are the intelligentsia. According to the source, a group of approximately 10 student activists were behind the posters, and the author of this article is far more forgiving than me. They have the right to denounce their fellow students as perpetuators of rape culture, I suppose. No, they fucking don't. They cannot prove any kind of nonsense about rape culture. It's fucking bullshit. From the same sort of feminists who say things like, men use rape as a form of societal control. It is categorically bullshit. So David Bernstein from the Washington Post says, just today I learned that Oberlin, supposedly one of the great liberal arts colleges in the world, has been in a tizzy because of a speech by the rather mainstream conservative feminist Christina Hoff Sommers. She's not a conservative, she's a Democrat. which supposedly made students feel unsafe well in advance, and so on. In no examples that I have seen have there been any actual threats or prospects of violence against the students complaining that they feel unsafe. And of course not. Of fucking course not. This is all in their fucking insane heads. And it's been put there by their fucking insane professors. This is a huge threat to the future of free speech nevertheless. Today's college students are going to be tomorrow's judges. And if they truly believe that safety means never having to deal with opinions that disagree with one's cherished beliefs, then censorship has a good chance of gaining the upper hand over freedom of speech. Honestly, mate, I think we're already there. I think we are already there. Seriously, though, modern university students seem to be mental. Absolutely fucking mental. They seem to think that hate speech is acceptable as long as that it is aimed at the right demographic. And it's going to come as no surprise to you that that demographic is men. Feminist student blasts App State frat for planning sexual assault awareness event. Oh, how very dare they. They are men. How could they possibly be concerned with raising awareness of sexual assault? I mean, they are the ones committing it. Raving lunatic Julia Granger, a junior at App State, condemned Alpha Sigma Phi and called the fraternity men sexist, racist, homophobic, ignorant trash. Indeed, I mean, not only did they have the temerity to be born male, they're probably not even feminists. She says, I don't know why fraternities on this campus continuously feel the need to infiltrate victim-slash-survivor spaces, especially when men who join frats are 3 times more likely to rape and fraternities as a whole are hyper-masculine, rape-culture-perpetuating cesspools. I'm sure she's got the statistics for that right to hand, and I'm sure they aren't complete feminist bullshit. Granger, whose Facebook page proves that she is fucking mental, and is also the director of marketing for the Appalachian Social Justice Educators, included 6 screenshots with her post to prove why the fraternity was racist and sexist. One screenshot showed a fraternity member critical of the bulletin boards placed in the App State dorms that shame students who have privilege. How fucking dare! Holy shit, the temerity of these insolent privileged peasants for criticizing their betters. Another screenshot showed a fraternity member post an article that defended Greek life. How fucking dare he even defend himself? You're being accused by a woman. Shut your fucking mouth and sit down. Because that's how privilege works. Call me a feminist bitch, a fat man hater, whatever, but don't you dare tell me these men and their organization give a flying frisbee about standing against sexual assault and supporting victims slash survivors. Well, you probably are a fat, man-hating feminist bitch. I mean, these things are all probably true about you. I mean, I'm curious why you're okay with these things being true. You seem to have heard them all before, despite the fact that it was pointed out to her that fraternity men on universities are actually less threatening towards women than non-Greeks when comparing hypermasculinity and hostility towards women, according to a study in the Journal of College Student Development. And I have indeed covered this before, that college students are actually less likely to be sexually assaulted or raped than the surrounding non-university population. It doesn't seem to matter for this particular feminist, who calls them filth. She goes on to call them filth, filth, filth. It's almost like she can't stop thinking about them. And finally, we come to the most requested article I think I've ever had on This Week in Stupid. Anger after white people and men are banned from anti-racism rally at a British university by its own student union diversity officer. For fuck's sake, British people, this is your country. In 2015, this is happening. So a students' union has been accused of racism and sexism after banning white people and men from an event to promote equality. Those studying at Goldsmiths University of London were invited to the students' union meeting to discuss diversifying the curriculum, but they were shocked when an organiser told white people and men not to come, as it was only open to BME, black and minority ethnic women. Well, it's rather easy to see why they're concerned about it being racist and sexist then, isn't it? The union eventually backed down after a backlash from students, one of whom described the exclusive policy as patronising beyond belief. I mean, if it's more bothersome that you're patronised rather than it being a racist and sexist policy, fine, but I find that a very strange set of priorities. Anyway, the event held on Wednesday was organised by Welfare and Diversity Officer Bahar Mustafa, who said she hoped to persuade academics to broaden courses to include more material relating to minority groups. You know, I love it when normal people are introduced to this sort of stuff, especially when they're introduced to it like a big slap in the face. You know, the normies have absolutely no fucking idea what they're getting themselves into. This is a perfect example. The ban on men and white students is surprising, since the organisers claim to promote zero tolerance for all forms of prejudice, discrimination and oppression. And as a normie, you're probably thinking, well, why the fuck are they doing that? Because you don't know the crazy rationalisation that allows them to be discriminatory against white people and men. Apparently, Miss Mustafa's actions had made it very difficult for male students. But feminism, it's not about hating men. It's honestly not, we swear. He said many white men felt that they could not say anything for fear of retribution. But, I mean, that's not oppression. That's not oppression. Being unable to speak because you're afraid of the consequences. That's definitely not oppression. And he added, for Bahar to have the nerve to write this is patronising beyond belief. The irony that she thinks that they are diversifying the student community in the name of feminism and multiculturalism is laughable. Well, yeah, you think that. But it turns out that white people don't have culture. They've never had culture. No matter what country you go to, the white people there do not have culture. I know what you're thinking, but culture is just how people interact and the things people do, and if white people do things, then they must have culture by default. But you're wrong! Only non-white people have culture, because white people are evil. People understandably saw this for the racist hate speech that it was, and questioned why she wasn't prosecuted. Well, that's a good question, but we'll ignore that for now. And the organisers appeared to back down on the rules, with a statement saying, "Allies now welcome," assuming they have any allies left. Which is a turn of events remarkably like the British National Party accepting black people. You could, but why would you want to? And it will probably come as no surprise that Miss Mustafa recently graduated with an MA in Gender and Media Studies, because they're honestly not poisoning the minds of young people, teaching them to hate other people based on their skin colour or their sex. And yes, she is from a very privileged background. She lives with her parents in Enfield in a house worth almost £500,000. What a fucking surprise. University officials were, of course, quivering with fear and pissing their pants over the idea of having to explain this kind of bullshit to the general public. And apparently Miss Mustafa was unavailable for comment to explain exactly why she was such a fucking bigot. She was apparently too busy not giving a flying fuck about her racist attitude. This would be some of that empathy feminists are famous for. In the hours after the story made the national news yesterday, a friend of Miss Mustafa again posted the picture of her pretending to cry to Facebook. He wrote, "When you thought the cup in the picture was big enough for white tears." And even her own friends are calling her out on this, saying, "To specifically exclude a group of people from any event is to become the oppressor. As the oppressed, by default, they are of course the oppressed, we should not wish to inflict upon others the pain which we know to be harmful to us." Melodrama aside, at least her friend is in the right. And here she is pictured wearing a lovely t-shirt that says, "Violent Anarchists for Communism." That always works out brilliantly. Everywhere that violent anarchists implement communism, it's always turned out brilliantly. And I am so glad that British universities are producing students that think this way. I love how this privileged upper-class university student, she's 27, never had a fucking job, only just graduated, she thinks of herself as a worker. She thinks of herself as an oppressed prole. What a fucking joke.